The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors. You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome once again to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli, and for the next hour, I will be here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we'll be talking about all manner of natural approaches that you can use to support your good health, avoid disease, feel good, have energy, sleep well. All that good stuff. Good morning, Dr. Slavin.
Good morning, Janet. I thought we'd start off today's program talking about the topic of energy medicine.
It's a very interesting topic, and certainly one that the Western science is beginning to acknowledge as reality.
A little bit, but it's I think one of the hardest concepts to grasp. For example,
because you can't grasp it.
I'm trying to think of the best way to help people understand it. You know, you take a pill and you feel better. You say, okay, I can understand that I took a pill. The interesting thing is you don't know how that pill is working. See, that's the part that where the disconnect is. So energy medicine bypasses the pill and goes right to the source of function in your body, and that's the energy and the electromagnetic frequencies of every cell. So a good way to understand that there's energy around around you is, for example, when you get an electrocardiogram, you know, that's taking monitoring the energy put out by your heart, for example.
And where did that energy come from? And how come we very easily accept the fact that we're conscious and we have thoughts and our brains work, but we think that energy medicine or the concept of energy manipulation is odd? It's very interesting to me how we have kind of shunted that to the side in the West.
And perhaps another way to sort of get an understanding that energy can affect our cells is the impact of cell phones have on people who use them extensively or for prolonged periods of time. If you, for women, if they tuck them into their bra, they've developed breast cancer in that area. Well, how did that happen? See, energy being emitted from the cell phone, disrupting the DNA in the cells. So that's one example. A good example of energy is lightning.
Right? Where did it come from?
Well, and then look at the impact.
And look at the power of it.
Yeah, so energy is really the future of medicine. The reason there's so much resistance to it. Imagine if you could heal people and you could bypass the need for a drug, because you can get the same effect or even better by just using an energy source to manipulate the energy of your cells rather than using a drug to chemically manipulate the energy of the cells. So the reason I brought this up a little bit, we're going to have a seminar June 11th on a Saturday starting at 10 o'clock. And
And people should call and make a reservation, because there's limited space available. And the number to call, 954-748-4991. Just okay. A reminder.
Right. It's a free seminar. But well, we're going to show some of the devices we have here that employ energy. For example, there's the OndaMed. Even breast thermography is energy. I mean, think about it. You have an infrared camera taking a picture of the temperatures of a woman's breast. I mean, that's a perfect example of how you use energy. But even an X-ray is the same thing. MRIs, you use a magnet to visualize what a person looks like. So the Ondamed, another device that we use here is the cell well-being device, and we'll explain how that interprets how your body is functioning based on a sample of hair. We have the we have a few things. What do we have? The integrated genetic
UVLRX is super yeah. energy focused.
Right. The UVLRX is will explain how and the best term I've heard for that treatment is polychromatic intravenous light therapy.
Why do you think that's the best one? I think ultraviolet says a lot,
right.
And then you can get into greater details about polychromatic.
Well, polychromatic just means multiple colors.
Right.
And it's because it's not just ultraviolet now. We're doing
right.
red and green light, which has additional benefits to the individual. So we'll explain all that. The integrated genetic solutions, how you can employ now your genetic makeup and your nutrient levels and even other tests of your body and determine the best, I guess, dosages of various supplements and hormones to correct the problem. Energy medicine will be able to test people to determine what supplements would be most beneficial for them. I mean, there's a lot of areas in energy medicine that are totally ignored by the medical establishment, because again, the medical establishment is allopathic medicine, and that means we only use drugs, surgery, chemotherapy, and radiation. That's it. That's their approach. And all these other approaches are not even discussed at the conferences that those doctors go to. Those conferences are subsidized by the drug companies, so they get to learn why all these drugs are great for you, but they leave out the other alternatives, which are probably far superior than drugs.
And unfortunately, that perspective that's presented to those physicians at those allopathic medical meetings denigrate this very subject that we're discussing, Dr. Slavin, energy medicine, natural herbal medicine, the idea that herbs, because of the energy concentrated in a plant, actually can provide an energetic change within the body, and the herbal medicine approach hasn't kind of really focused on the idea that it's energy, but when you get right down to it, it is.
So to understand why these things aren't being introduced into mainstream medicine practice, anything that competes with drugs is not going to be tolerated.
It's interesting. I don't remember, unfortunately, what the commercial is, but this gentleman comes out to speak to his wife, and he's got these great big hairy arms that are bursting out of his shirt, and he holds up his pharmaceutical medicine bottle, and it says side effects may be you develop gorilla arms. So I think it has to do with some kind of insurance, but it is an attention-getting commercial about what you're risking when you put all of your effort into pharmaceutical medicine.
And isn't it, I wouldn't say it's strange, I guess it's to be expected that insurance companies only pay for, you know, the drug approach as opposed to anything else that might be effective in either healing somebody or preventing an illness. Forget about prevention. Where, you know, the health insurance companies aren't even interested in preventing infection. You would think that would be the best way to go if you wanted to keep people healthy. They call it health insurance, but
disease
they're not insuring
care.
Health. Yeah, they're not insuring health. So they really don't want, they want you to get sick because they endorse that mindset of get sick and then we'll spend money trying to get you better. But if you think of it, allopathic medicine doesn't have any suggestions to stay healthy. It's all about, well, we have drugs for you when you get sick. We don't have anything to help you stay well.
Well, they're trying to tell you that by using cholesterol-lowering medication, you are preventing a heart attack. By lowering blood pressure with pharmaceuticals, you are preventing a stroke or a heart attack. But the truth of the matter is those numbers don't support that position, that cholesterol-lowering medication and blood pressure-lowering medication actually prevent the development of cardiovascular disease.
Well, I would say that lowering blood pressure is going to be helpful. Of course, it's better to lower it naturally.
Not with a drug, right.
No, but still, it's, you know, there are two aspects to high blood pressure. One is, what is the underlying reason for the high blood pressure? If ideally, remove that cause and the blood pressure will go down on its own. But the risk of high blood pressure is to accelerate organ damage, increase the risk of a hemorrhagic stroke, in other words, a ruptured blood vessel in the brain. So until you can remove the underlying cause, get to keep that blood pressure under control. But that's different than lowering your cholesterol. See, that hasn't been shown to make a difference.
Okay, so with regard to the blood pressure, what's one of the things that it's a pet topic of yours, Dr. Slavin, that raises blood pressure and doctors don't talk to their patients about it, and it is sugar. Cut your sugar intake and your blood pressure will be less unstable. Cut your sugar intake, cut your processed carbs, the sweets that people have on a routine basis, and your blood pressure stabilizes. Another very basic one is hydration. Hydrate properly and your blood pressure will reduce. Another one is test your red blood cell magnesium level, and if it's low, attend to supporting your magnesium content.
Now, I'm going to read off a bunch of, symptoms that patients frequently present to a doctor's office for, and when we come back from the break, we'll tell you what these are related to, you know, peripheral neuropathy, fatigue, impaired concentration. Sometimes the patients call that brain fog, hearing loss, seizures, nausea, dyspepsia, which is like GERD, constipation, miscarriage or stillbirths, reduced sperm count. I guess people don't really know what their sperm count is unless they're trying to have
conceive,
a baby. Right.
Yeah.
So otherwise, but it's probably a very common problem, but since nobody's checking, we don't know the extent of it. Anemia, high blood pressure, arthralgias or arthritis and muscle pains, myalgias. So when we come back, we'll talk about what possibly could be causing all those symptoms.
You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin. Stay tuned. More to come for your good health.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Herbert Slavin and Janet Cimarelli. They're located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill. And you can find them on the web at advancedmedicaltesting.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience. Clean, comfortable, and efficient. They guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest prices. They test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. They draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostics, Singulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call them today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
Hi, I'm Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor and co-host of Natural Doc Radio. If you're in search of the fountain of youth, if you're trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy, there are three main factors that will determine how well you age. The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process. Through my counseling sessions, I work with clients and manage these three areas to stay young, vibrant, vibrant and healthy. I can help you maintain optimal health that will keep you looking and feeling young again. I provide you with the in-depth knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process. So schedule your appointment today, JanetCimarelli.com. Don't wait, your clock is ticking. And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. And Dr. Slavin, that was a very lengthy list of unhappy and uncomfortable, unpleasant symptoms. And I can't imagine what an allopathic physician would say or do with a patient that came in with that list of symptoms.
They give them a drug.
Would they give them antidepressants and then something to stimulate them so that they would feel like they had energy and then something so they could sleep? It would take more than one drug.
Well, people aren't going to have every symptom I read off, but the point is,
they're going to have a lot of them.
They're not going to look for the underlying cause. And the reason I brought up that list, it was revealed that the Environmental Protection Agency covered up a massive lead contamination of the water supply in Washington, D.C. over a decade ago. And nobody ever did anything about it. In fact, nobody even knew about it. Again, that's another example of government efficiency, or as they refer to it here, as incompetence and arrogance. So, you know, if we rely on other people or agencies to protect us, you do it at your own risk, because they're not interested, apparently. You know, what hit the media a few months ago was the water contamination with lead in Flint, Michigan. Otherwise, the EPA, I guess, was forced to say something about it. Remember the Gold King Mine accident in Colorado, when the EPA was responsible for releasing millions of gallons of yellow-orange-colored water, which basically were pollutants that contaminated the local river?
So this is the Environmental Protection Agency. So these are the individuals as part of that agency that are making decisions to protect the environment. And what have they done? They've severely contaminated the environment.
In 2013, the Washington Post reported that the city's water contamination problem had returned, noting that the unborn were being hit particularly hard. And how was that? Late-term miscarriages and spontaneous abortions occurred at an unusually high rate among Washington women between the years 2000 and 2003. During the same time frame, lead levels were dangerously high in the city's drinking water, a study found. The study's findings, which are scheduled to be published in the journal Environmental Science and Technology, do not prove that the city's lead crisis caused fetal deaths or miscarriages, but the results show a significant correlation between the two events. So what I'm saying is, unfortunately, you go to a physician with a problem, He looks up what drug to use for that problem. He doesn't look up what could be the potential causes of that problem. And it always made more sense to me, and I don't know why more physicians don't think the same way, is look for the underlying cause of the problem rather than just cover it up with a drug. You know, is that sort of obvious?
So, seems to me it's obvious.
And then, of course, they tell you how to check for lead levels, and of course they're wrong again, because they say use a blood test. And then they say, what are the acceptable levels of lead in an individual? Well, there should be no acceptable levels of lead. There is no nutrient value to a human being to have lead in their bodies. So what they're saying is, as long as it's not creating a problem, it's okay to have lead in your body, which is wrong.
Oh, so we're just going to wait until there's a problem, and that's pretty much the perspective of allopathic medicine. Oh, if you're dealing with a little thing, okay, so it's just your age, it's your stress level, it's something that you ate, it's just a little problem, no worries, and we'll just keep our eyes on it. We'll retest in 3 months. And in 3 months, something then blossoms into a huge problem, then we can use the pharmaceuticals for it.
And then, of course, the treatment for lead toxicity is chelation therapy. And they mislead the reader here again. They say therapeutic chelating agents have potentially adverse side effects.
Wow.
The adverse side effects, number one, come from not treating the person with lead accumulations. And if you do it properly, absolutely no side effects. And a single course of chelation may not be sufficient to reduce blood lead levels, and a repeat course may be required. Again, that's on an individual basis, but before you can even think about chelation, you have to have your levels measured. Now, the interesting thing here is they're saying, well, get chelated if you have symptoms. Again, that's the wrong mindset. Doesn't it make more sense to get chelated before the lead undermines your health to the point of having symptoms? See, we have the wrong mindset. We think if you have no symptoms, you're healthy. And that's the wrong definition of health. It's an extreme case of illness by the time symptoms occur. If you can, picture that. In other words, when a woman has a miscarriage, you know, there was a lot going wrong leading up to the miscarriage that was totally ignored.
Okay, well, I'm going to say one area that is totally ignored with regard to multiple miscarriages is to evaluate the woman's thyroid function, and that when there is low or unstable thyroid function, the risk of miscarriages is much higher. Dr. Slavin, here is the issue. People are going along, they're feeling fine. Do you think it's appropriate to have everyone do a chelation challenge test to evaluate the heavy metal content in their bodies? Is there another way to accurately assess someone's heavy metal contamination?
The best way is a chelation challenge test. You can get a measurement with a blood test, but you're going to miss it's like looking in the wrong spot, you know, for the problem. The lead isn't in the blood, it's in your tissues. That's why a provocative test and then a urine collection gets to those levels of lead that are in your tissues. You can do a hair analysis, but still not as good as a provocative test.
So might some people who have a blood test be given a test result that shows them free and clear of heavy metals, but indeed the heavy metals may very well be there. You've just looked in the wrong place.
Right. Don't is a false sense of security.
Ah, okay.
Here's what I would say. Clearly anybody that's concerned, or let's say they have jobs that might expose them to lead, or hobbies that might expose them to lead, should be tested if they're interested. But women wanting to be pregnant, I think they should be tested automatically. I think that should be imperative. I mean, you don't want to risk the pregnancy or risk a congenital defect because you didn't know that you had accumulations of lead.
So how many obstetricians do you think are aware of and have any knowledge about heavy metal testing?
I'm sure there must be one somewhere.
Somewhere,
yeah.
Okay.
But it's not really. Again, you can't leave it up to your doctor. You have to research it for yourself and look into it. Same thing with adults. You have these unexplained health challenges. We listed them before. You can have digestive problems, brain fog, peripheral neuropathy. You have to consider lead as a possible component to the problem. And it's not just lead. It's the other heavy metals that we frequently see, like arsenic, cadmium, and mercury. You want to check that because you can do yourself a great service by removing these heavy metals, which are an impediment to healing, and more important, a potential cause of more serious problems, like cardiovascular disease or cancer. Just something to consider that, you know, I'm bringing it up again because lead toxicity affecting our water supply is occurring and not being reported. So we can't rely upon these governmental agencies that we should be able to rely upon. After all, we're paying for them. But apparently they're not doing their job.
Did you see the headline or hear the headline, the report this morning that the NFL may have interfered with the investigation by the National Institutes of Health into the risks of concussion and deteriorating brain damage in football players? That is very interesting. So you think about very wealthy, very powerful organizations and how they can interfere with what kind of information you're getting regarding science. So manipulating the science to their ends. And who is suffering? The individual. The individual supposedly relying on science.
You know, I have a perfect report we'll get into when we come back from the break. But the headline was, independent scientists warn most currently published research findings are false.
Okay, yeah, absolutely.
What you're alluding to, that
right.
They interfere, well, they change the interpretation, and it's...
It's very interesting, because when you read the abstract at the beginning of a published scientific article, very often what supposedly is the conclusion of the scientific study, if you read the entire study, you come to a very different conclusion. So pressure to interpret so-called scientific facts in a particular direction.
Another example, if you're following... what's going on in this political season, and you may have heard the candidate say one thing, and then you hear it's reported in a completely different
right,
way.
Right.
You say, what's going on here? That's not what he said. And then they're just misconstruing, you know, everything, you know, and that's, you know, and that goes on in science even more, because in science, you're talking about billions of dollars at stake. When you mentioned the NFL, you know, what would happen if potential or future football players decided, it's too dangerous to play football. I'll play golf instead.
Okay, well, some of the golfers have been in trouble recently, too, hanging out with the wrong folks.
But they are working on better helmets. I think maybe a better approach is take away all the equipment. Play football without wearing equipment. You'd see the game change drastically.
Very interesting. Something to consider.
I think rugby, they don't wear a lot of equipment, right?
Right.
Still a good game.
Right. And that music means that it's time for us to take a break here on Natural Talk Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin. We'll be right back.
Did you know that you can be eating a healthy diet, but that your body may not be absorbing the vitamins and nutrients from your foods? Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a premier blood draw center servicing Genova Diagnostics Lab. Genova offers an advanced comprehensive blood test that identifies your body's deficiencies in absorbing vitamins, nutrients, and essential cofactors. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard in Lauderhill. They offer an on-time appointment guarantee and the lowest price guarantee. Schedule your appointment today for a blood draw for the Genova Diagnostics Nutritional Evaluation Test. Call Advanced Medical Testing Centers at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com.
The Institute of Advanced Medicine introduces holistic and comprehensive ways to maintain your health, maintain your energy and immunity, your flexibility and your wellness. The team of specialists at the Institute of Advanced Medicine offer all the services to enhance and support all categories of function, health, and well-being. You can call 954-748-4991 to make an appointment today. 954-748-4991. And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we are talking about areas where you need to focus your attention in order to get the correct information for supporting your good health. And as Dr. Slavin said earlier, there is a situation where the underlying cause is never looked at. What is the focus of our attention is what drug to use, what surgical procedure will be appropriate for this diagnosis. So many different areas where you can support your good health and investigate where threats to your well-being may be developing. It could be nutrient deficiency. It could be, as we were talking earlier in the show, it could be energy flow disruption. And so many different approaches to keep well.
Well, I just want to go back to that statement I made where it said independent scientists warn most currently published research findings are false. And so one of those independent scientists was the longtime editor-in-chief of the New England Journal of Medicine, Dr. Marcia Angel. And she said she takes no pleasure in this conclusion, but that's what she's seen over the years. Now, another top and well-respected medical journal is The Lancet, and that comes out of England. And it's stated here, they also publish research findings that are unreliable and many times false. Now, according to the editor-in-chief of that publication, Dr. Richard Horton, he says that fake science often published in the prestigious medical journal and much of the scientific literature, perhaps half, may simply be untrue.
Half of the scientific literature may simply be untrue. And we look at the headlines in mainstream media about how we should make our decisions based on science, and half of it may be untrue.
He says these studies are false for a lot of reasons, like small sample size or just tiny effects. You know, if you have a 1% difference, they'll blow that up to make, and they'll change the statistics. For example, if 1% got sick instead of 2%, they wouldn't say it that way, 1% difference. They say 100% difference.
Right.
Because it is. You can call it that way. So that's how they fool the reader. Or they have invalid exploratory analyses, or there are flagrant conflicts of interest together with an obsession for pursuing fashionable trends of dubious importance. Science has taken a turn toward darkness. Now, what does that mean? That means that the results that are being reported, you have to be looked into in greater depth and not taken at face value. Many of the industry-sponsored studies being published today are used to promote new drugs and vaccines. Now, what does that mean? Well, money has its influence on science. To make matters worse, what ultimately gets published and promoted is what is ultimately believed by medical professionals. So it has nothing to do with real science. It's just whoever pays the most.
One of the things that I say to people, very often the studies that are presented to the FDA in support of approving a new drug, those studies may be done on population samples that are not the population for whom the drug will be prescribed. So let's say the drug is to support memory, and the original population that the drug was tested on, 25-year-old males. And who are the people going to be receiving this prescription medication? 70-year-old individuals. Very different outcome depending on the population chosen. The other thing is very often the tests are done overseas and in populations that have diets and lifestyles very, very different, once again, from the population that's going to be receiving the drug.
So what are the areas that you have to be aware of? Well, obviously, drugs and vaccines. Those are the two big areas that you hear research. And the peer-reviewed studies consistently downplay safety concerns of new drugs while overinflating, for example, vaccine benefits. Even though many vaccines have unresolved safety issues, they are pushed just so health authorities can increase vaccination rates. So this is clearly not scientific or, even more importantly, in the public interest.
Wow. I was saying earlier that the activist groups in California are beginning some pretty significant pushbacks with regard to the mandatory vaccine laws for children in schools. And the information is gaining a lot of traction because so many families have a child that was injured in one way or another after having received a vaccine. So you were talking about, okay, those two ways, vaccines and pharmaceuticals, but how often do people get a second opinion with regard to a surgical intervention? How often do people really investigate what are the benefits associated with agreeing to this radiation protocol versus other options? No other options are ever presented to the patient, and often, unfortunately, the fear-induced approach is so overwhelming that the patient just moves forward.
Well, I'll give you an example of how people can help themselves. Patients that are being told they need a knee replacement or a hip replacement. But let me even back up that. Even before you're being told, you probably had some complaint about those joints. And a doctor may have injected cortisone into those joints. So, right? I mean, to help relieve the pain.
Right.
And you have to know that the injection of cortisone repeatedly will actually destroy the joint and almost guarantee the need for a joint replacement.
Okay. What other negatives might be associated with that cortisone injection? Is it responsible for changing how the patient's immune system is functioning?
Well, that's hard to say. The effect is supposed to be more localized because you're injecting it. There may be some, but it's a one-time injection. It's not like you're using it on a daily basis. But I'd like to suggest that patients look into PRP, platelet-rich plasma, because what we're seeing, PRP is sort of an extension of what's that other treatment where they inject like sugar into the joint? You know, the other one to stabilize the joint.
Right. I know so, what you're talking about.
Well, PRP is an advance on that approach. That's prolotherapy. So prolotherapy, they would take a sugar, a liquid, and inject it to increase inflammation to help the healing process. Well, with PRP, you're doing a similar injection, except with platelet-rich plasma, meaning it has
value instead of not.
Well, prolotherapy has been shown to help. But with PRP, you have growth factors and healing factors that help restore the joint. So there have been evidence and studies that show that it helps regrow cartilage. Now, you've been told you can't regrow cartilage,
right.
But you can.
Absolutely.
So I think before anybody thinks of, the first time you get a doctor suggests a cortisone injection is when you should start thinking of a PRP injection. And when we do it, just as an example, we fortify the patient's blood before we take it out to extract the platelet-rich plasma.
How do you fortify it, Dr. Slavin?
Using the ultraviolet treatment.
What a fabulous idea.
So now you're getting the more energized cells that'll be put into the joint to help the healing.
Okay, would you say people have to have a problem before they use the polychromatic blood therapy?
Well, like a lot of the therapies, that alternative therapies, we all have problems. Let's put it this way. We all have problems to different degrees. You can have problems that you're totally unaware of and you're asymptomatic, or you can have problems where you're not feeling well and you're aware of it. Now, what's an example of that? The perfect example is that girl we talked about that got sick after a vaccine, a Gardasil vaccine. When they investigated what really happened, they found that she had a lot of infections in her body that her immune system were keeping under control. But the vaccination, the strain on her immune system that the vaccine caused, allowed those previously controlled infections to become uncontrolled, and she got very sick. So we all have infections in our bodies, and we test for them, and we find them. But the person's immune system is controlling it to one extent or another. But so there would be an instance where you can keep them under control. It's also been shown that by doing the ultraviolet treatments, you can also, it's a form of auto-vaccination. It helps your immune systems recognize all these infections and stimulate your immune system to control it better. And also, it kills bacteria, viruses, and fungi, so you can
parasites.
And parasites, and so you can reduce your exposure to all of these conditions. Why wouldn't they, mainstream medicine, want this? Because think about what I just said. No need for vaccines, no need for antibiotics. When it comes to hepatitis, for example, they don't really have a good treatment. It's effective against hepatitis, against HIV. I mean,
you mentioned hepatitis, Dr. Slavin. Should people be routinely tested in a blood test for Hep C antibodies?
The answer is probably yes, and I'll tell you why. Because you can have normal liver enzymes, which are tested routinely with a chemistry panel, and still harboring the infection in your body. Now, the real question comes up, if you don't have elevated liver enzymes, is that infection something you should be worried about or not, because your immune system is controlling it?
But at some future point, your immune system might be assaulted from an entirely different direction, and that gives the hepatitis virus a chance to proliferate and ultimately cause a problem.
So would you recommend treating a subclinical infection with drugs that have a very dangerous safety profile? No. But with ultraviolet blood therapy, there is no downside to it, no safety issues, very effective, no side effects.
And that music means it's time for a break here on Natural Doc Radio. Stay tuned, more to come.
Of someone going to see the doctor for a checkup or a sore throat or some common complaint, and in that visit they were diagnosed with a much more serious issue? The story I remember is the one about someone taking blood tests before cosmetic surgery, and those blood tests saved the life of the patient by discovering colon cancer. So don't be surprised. Come to Advanced Medical Testing for comprehensive testing to assure wellness. Call 754-216-2332 to schedule an appointment and get the information you need about advanced medical testing, or visit amtcenters.com. That's 754-216-2332 or amtcenters.com.
Are you looking for expert advice on how to improve your health, but want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule remote consultations with Janet Cimarelli at janetcimarelli.com. Janet is a licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet offers consultations via telephone, Skype, or email with convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. Janet will educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. Her areas of expertise include allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with Janet, and she'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health at JanetCimarelli.com. And tune in to hear Janet on Natural Doc Radio, Monday through Friday, 10 to 11 a.m., right here on AM 1470 WNN.
And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we've had a very, very interesting discussion today. It's been wide-ranging, but the bottom line of everything we've talked about has to do with supporting your good health. Dr. Slavin?
Now, during the break, you brought up the use of Cipro.
Yes.
And some of the side effects associated with Cipro. You mentioned joint pains. Now, what Cipro does, and what all the fluoroquinolones, those are the fluoridated antibiotics like Levaquin, Cipro, Avalox. They disrupt the mitochondria. They cause mitochondrial dysfunction. And when you do that, you get a whole list of problems. Problems that potentially are as serious as cardiomyopathy. Remember, it's what muscle in your body think requires the most energy?
My heart.
And if you disrupt the mitochondria in the heart, you're going to create problems. But nobody pays attention. They just hand out Cipro like it's not an issue. So I think you should avoid. One of the areas I use Cipro a lot was urinary tract infections, even respiratory tract infections. Those drugs should really be reserved as a last resort drug, because you may take a drug for 14 days and be stuck with symptoms that last a lifetime, or side effects that last a lifetime. So you really got to think twice about that. So one of the benefits of ultraviolet light therapy is to help reverse mitochondrial dysfunction, because it's a very powerful treatment.
Wow.
In a way of energy production, namely ATP production.
What fabulous information. So for individuals out there who have had a course in antibiotics, a course of Cipro, Levaquin, Avalox, this is something very much to consider, because unfortunately the potential for joint pain and cartilage destruction is very, very much an issue. And as you said, Dr. Slavin, here's something that may last a lifetime, and you've successfully overcome the infection, but the destruction on a cellular level is so dramatic. So tendons, cartilage, joint pain, all of that. And you were mentioning the potential for mitochondrial damage in the heart cells.
Well, here's a list. This is published data from the drug company of the common adverse reactions associated with taking Cipro. You could have nausea, diarrhea, vomiting, abdominal pain, headache, dyspepsia, which is heartburn, dizziness, restlessness, lightheadedness, insomnia, itching, a rash, anxiety, agitation, confusion, tendonitis, arthralgias, elevated liver function, and nervousness. So it's affecting your nervous system, it's affecting your digestive tract, it's affecting the muscles in your body, and those are just the common reactions. If we get into the more serious reactions, you have rupture of tendons. You've heard them talk about Achilles tendon rupture. Peripheral neuropathy, that's when you have pain or tingling or funny sensations.
Numbness.
Or numbness in your extremities. You can suppress your bone marrow. That's not a good thing.
Whoa, I had no idea. I've never heard that one before, Dr. Slavin.
It's toxic to the kidneys. Now, they talk about, I mentioned the heart, where it's going to cause a cardiomyopathy. Well, on EKG, you have the QT prolongation. It's, in other words, it could be seen on an EKG. And torsade de pointe, which is another heart risk seen on EKG. It can increase your risk for suicide, depression, seizures, serum sickness, pneumonia, vasculitis. I mean, the point is, how many people have symptoms that the doctor can't really figure out what's causing it, but that might be attributable to a drug you have taken a year ago or 2 years ago, or symptoms that just don't go away. So that's why you have to consider the side effect profile of a drug versus what benefit you're going to get from it, because especially when it comes to, say, urinary tract infections or pulmonary infections or respiratory tract infections, there may be safer antibiotics to use if you should need an antibiotic.
How about using the UVLRX before going to an antibiotic, because it's going to have the capacity to negate?
I didn't mention C. diff-associated diarrhea, but it's become a big problem.
Wow.
That'll put people in a hospital because you have such severe diarrhea that the potential for dying is high, even if you go in a hospital. Superinfection. So, these drugs are handed out like they're nothing, but the potential. That is why we see over 100,000 people dying each year from the side effects of drugs taken appropriately. So you can't take that number lightly. You have to realize that's one drug. When you start combining drugs, then who knows? And we've looked at that too, if you combine drugs. So what would, Jenny, you pick a drug out that someone might be on in addition to Cipro, for example.
Wow. There ones for incontinence. I don't necessarily know the names of them, but very often, along with a urinary tract infection for which Cipro is given, there may be older women who are experiencing difficulties with incontinence, and so there are drugs to stop frequency of urination. Can you think of the drug that falls in that category? I can't think of the name of that drug.
Well, what I'm looking for is just... Well, I'm just curious to see. Here's a beta blocker that if you were taking Cipro and a beta blocker, it said avoid that combination. It'll increase the risk of a QT prolongation. What does that mean? It means increase the risk of cardiac arrhythmias.
Whoa. Okay, and how many people have no idea that they shouldn't combine those two drugs, and they're consulting their cardiologist? Where did this come from? Oh, wow, it just appeared. It didn't just appear. It came about because of a combination of drugs that was dramatically incorrect.
Or if you're taking Coumadin and they give you Cipro, they say use an alternative because the combination might increase your risk of bleeding because that's how it affects vitamin K production. So, all these little things that, I mentioned before, you can download an app or just go online and look up drug interactions and there are different websites. You can plug in the drugs you're taking and see if they're safe to take. The doctor doesn't take the time. The pharmacist gives you a printout, but who knows who's reading it?
And a lot of times the interactions are not, the list of interactions are not complete on that printout from the pharmacy.
Well, here's one now. How about this? Caffeine and Cipro.
Whoa.
It says, decrease caffeine dose or limit caffeine consumption. The combination may increase caffeine levels, risk cardiovascular and central nervous system stimulatory effects, and increase its toxicity because it's affecting the way the liver metabolizes the drug.
Whoa.
So, I mean, who would think of doing this? And certainly some people tolerate it very well and nothing happens, but other people may create a cardiac arrhythmia and put them in the hospital. You just don't know.
So this is,
by the way, all published data I'm talking about. So you can look it up for yourself. So you should check.
And when I see people, unfortunately, it's all too frequent where I see 6, 8, 10 medications. And some of the medications are duplicated because the first one isn't working. And so a second one is added. And when you actually begin to plot the interactions among all of these pharmaceuticals, you truly get into dangerous territory.
Another example, metformin and Cipro can affect your blood sugar. So you wouldn't think about that automatically, but, you know, it could drop your blood sugar too much and, create a problem.
And unfortunately, people dealing with diabetes and their propensity to develop a urinary tract infection is higher than someone with a stable blood sugar chemistry. Okay, we have just about run out of time on Natural Doc Radio. We've covered a lot of territory today, and we'll be back tomorrow at 10 covering more information to support your good health. Thanks for listening.
Listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy.
The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.